Radio Prague News.
The police have proposed pressing charges of EU subsidy fraud against the Czech Prime Minister. The Pirate Party wants the OSCE and the Council of Europe to debate the Prime Minister's alleged conflict of interest ahead of the European elections. And Prague's leading orchestras will perform a charity concert at St. Vitus Cathedral in aid of the reconstruction of Notre Dame. Police investigators have proposed pressing charges of EU subsidy fraud and damaging the interests of the European Union against Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and several family members, including his wife, Czech Radio reported, citing police sources. The police investigation into the so-called Stork's Nest affair, in which the Prime Minister is suspected of having illegally tapped into a 50 million crown EU subsidy 10 years ago, has been concluded, and the files have been handed over to the Chief State Attorney, who will decide on whether to file charges. If the Prime Minister is stripped of his immunity, tried and found guilty, he could face a jail sentence of between 5 and 10 years. The Prime Minister has consistently denied the allegations and said on Wednesday that the timing of the police proposal for charges to be filed showed that the whole affair was politically motivated. He said there was no reason to hold an emergency meeting of the ruling coalition over this latest development. Meanwhile, Deputy Prime Minister and head of the Social Democrats, Jan Hamáček, said his party would wait for the decision of the state attorney's office before reaching any conclusions. Meanwhile, the Pirate Party is pushing to open a debate into allegations of conflict of interest on the part of the Czech Prime Minister at the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe and the Council of Europe. The party senator Lukáš Wagenknecht has sent both organizations an official request asking them to consider the matter in view of its possible impact on the European elections. The Pirate Party is not happy with the fact that the European Commission has so far not taken a stand on the issue following an investigation into the allegations by EU auditors. The EU's Budget Commissioner Günther Oettinger said on Monday that the European Commission would prepare a conclusive report on its investigation by May 15th, adding that the Czech government would have 2 months to respond to the report before making it public. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš met with the Prime Minister of Vietnam in Prague on Wednesday for talks on boosting bilateral relations, business and trade. Prime Minister Babiš said that he supported the setting up of a direct air link between Prague and Hanoi, as well as Vietnam's efforts to negotiate a free trade agreement with the European Union. The Czech Prime Minister said there was potential for Czech firms on the Vietnamese market, particularly in the areas of transport and heavy industry. A Czech-Vietnamese business and investment forum currently underway in Prague has attracted over 100 Czech and 60 Vietnamese companies. Prague's leading orchestras will perform a charity concert in St. Vitus in aid of the reconstruction of Notre Dame. The Czech Philharmonic Orchestra, the Prague Symphony Orchestra, the Symphony Orchestra of Czech Radio, and the orchestras of the National Theatre and the Estates Theatre in Prague will perform Dvořák's Stabat Mater under the baton of conductor Tomáš Netopil. The concert is due to take place on April 23rd and the admission fee is voluntary. Finally, a look at the weather forecast. Thursday should be clear to partly cloudy with temperatures between 14 and 18 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, in the wake of the Notre Dame tragedy, Prague heralds its own safety measures at its iconic cathedral, St. Vitus. The 70th anniversary of the launch of children's books publisher Albatross is being marked with re-releases of its most famous titles, and thanks to artificial intelligence, we are all treated to a new piano composition by the late, great Czech composer Antonín Dvořák. All that is coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. Attention has been focused on fire safety elsewhere following Monday's devastating blaze at Paris's Notre Dame Cathedral. The Czech equivalent, Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral, is prepared for such an eventuality, its operators say, with millions of crowns being spent on fire prevention measures every year. Ian Willoughby has the details.
the sound of the organ at St. Vitus Cathedral. The building's construction was initiated by Charles IV in the 14th century. Bohemian monarchs were crowned and entombed there. It houses the Czech crown jewels and it dominates Prague's skyline. For this reason, the largest and most important church in the country holds a similar place in the hearts of Czechs as Notre Dame does for the French. The terrible blaze at Paris's iconic cathedral has put St. Vitus Cathedral in the spotlight, with the operators of Prague Castle quick to offer the public reassurances about its fire safety. Vratislav Mináš is the Chancellor of President Miloš Zeman.
Every year, the office of the president invests over 20 million crowns in the maintenance, renovation and operation of St. Vitus Cathedral. In the last 3 years, we have put 10 million crowns into fire safety measures. Allow me to say also that with the security measures we put place at the entrance to Prague Castle, we are trying to minimize the risk of arson attacks on the whole castle complex and, of course, the cathedral.
Martin Pospíšil is directly responsible for fire safety at the country's best-known religious building. He says that just as in Paris, the Prague Fire Service have clear instructions regarding what to save first at St. Vitus Cathedral.
Understandably, the Fire Protection Act states evacuation of people, animals and then property. There's also an evacuation plan for visitors placed around the building, and we have also drawn up a plan for the evacuation of valuables.
Mr. Pospíšil points out that St. Vitus Cathedral can hold up to 1,000 people, and such moments would represent the biggest challenge if evacuation were required. He also says that fire prevention measures must be adapted to the limitations of the Gothic structure.
It's not possible for us to shoehorn a modern fire system into this space. Imagine how St. Vitus Cathedral would look with sprinklers overhead. In this, it's very similar to Notre Dame. What we try to do is separate high-risk areas, such as maintenance rooms and electricity substations, so that if there is a fire, it won't spread to the historical parts of the building.
St. Vitus Cathedral is fitted with a total of 145 fire sensors. Three pipes in the upper part of the building are capable of delivering over 1,200 litres of water a minute, and 70 special sprinklers protect the wooden roof of the building's large tower.
Ian Willoughby reporting. This year marks 70 years since the establishment of the famous children's books publisher Albatross. As part of that anniversary, Albatross has released a collection of some of its most famous titles, both fiction and non-fiction, published in the years between 1960 and 1980. It's quite a collection, as Ruth Frankova reports.
Albatross, originally called the State Publishing House of Children's Books, was established on the 15th of April 1949 and held a monopoly on publishing children's books until the fall of communism in 1989. Over the years, it has brought out hundreds of titles which have been cherished by generations of Czech children. Petr Eliáš, editor-in-chief at Albatross, explains that to a certain extent, during the communist era, children's books had an advantage over other genres.
The communist regime suppressed a great number of authors, banning them from publishing. However, children's literature stood outside the direct focus of censors, at least to a certain extent, so it gave the authors more creative space. As a result, many of the authors who would otherwise publish texts for adults had to resort to children's literature. So we have lots of titles, especially from the 70s, which might not have been created if it wasn't for censorship.
Among the 8 books included in the retro collection called Cesta časem s Albatrosem or Journey Through Time with Albatros is the legendary encyclopedia Už vím proč or Now I Know Why by Helena and Eduard Škodovi, illustrated by Vojtěch Kubašta. There is also the 1961 book by the world-famous poet and artist Jiří Kolář called Nápady pana Apríla or Mr. April's Stories, accompanied by charming illustrations by Vladimír Fuka. Petr Eliáš says choosing the titles proved to be quite a complicated process.
We wanted to create a cross-section of Albatross's production that would represent all the significant publication series and all the significant artists, because the artistic part of the book was an important criterion for our choice. The task was also made difficult by the fact that we regularly publish old titles, so we had to delve deeper into the past than we usually do. But I would say that the selection is sufficiently representative.
Most of the books have been published with only minor editorial changes. One exception is S malířem kolem světa, originally published in 1984. In this case, the beautiful illustrations by Jiří Kalousek are accompanied by newly written texts for them to be more up-to-date. Mr. Eliáš says the main target group of the special collection are parents and grandparents who can still remember the books, but he hopes it will also succeed in attracting some new readers.
I believe there are at least some titles that will appeal to modern-day children. There is, for instance, Holčička a déšť, a beautiful and timeless poetic picture book. I'm quite sure certain children will like it, despite the fact it was first published several decades ago.
The book, written by Milena Lukešová and illustrated by Jan Kudláček, was originally published in 1974, and it also came out in English under the title The Girl and the Rain. To mark its 70th anniversary, Albatros has also released an extensive book dedicated to its history and to its most famous books.
Ruth Frankova reporting. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature, again with Ruth. More than 100 years after his death, fans of Antonín Dvořák have a chance to hear a new piece by one of the greatest Czech composers of all time. An artificial intelligence program called iVey recently completed a fragment of Dvořák's piano composition in E minor. It was recorded by the acclaimed Czech pianist Ivo Kohanek.
After analyzing all of Antonín Dvořák's 1,115 opuses, AVA, the artificial intelligence program, subsequently composed the remaining part of his unfinished piece for piano. AVA will now continue to compose the second and third movements of the symphony, this time in an orchestral version. AVA will now continue to compose the second and third movements of the symphony, this time in an orchestral version. The musical experiment was initiated by Richard Stibitz and Philipp Humpel from the Wonderman Agency, who say their goal was to examine the creative possibilities of artificial intelligence. Philipp Humpel outlines the initial idea for the project entitled AVA Dvořák – Music from the Future.
I have loved Dvořák's music since a very young age. I knew he was very imaginative. He would walk through nature writing down musical motifs that sprung to mind. So I thought, what if there are some unfinished fragments of his work out there? At first, we thought we would collect the fragments and use them to create a new composition. And we searched for them. We came across a large score that already had several musical motives. So we decided that was the piece we would like to complete using artificial intelligence.
The unfinished fragment of Dvořák's piano composition in E minor ended up in the collections of the Czech Museum of Music in the early 1980s as part of Dvořák's heritage. The unnamed composition is in fact only a very short fragment, consisting of two sheets of paper, explains one of the museum's experts, Klára Vejvodová.
Ještě celkem zajímavé,
The composition is a sketch largely resembling the Mazurek Dvořák later composed, which might be the reason why he chose not to finish it. The composition itself is not that inventive, so I would say Dvořák was self-critical and decided not to complete it.
Upon making their discovery, Philip Humpel and his colleague approached the Luxembourg-based startup company Ava, which uses artificial intelligence to compose music. The company focuses mostly on classical soundtrack music used in films, video games, advertisements and other types of visual media. Pierre Barrault, the company's co-founder and CEO, explains why they decided to accept the challenge.
First of all, I love Dvorak's Ninth Symphony. It's a great piece of music. And his music is, you know, it's not particularly easy to have AI compose in that style. Like, there are some more obvious styles for AI to compose in. For example, the Baroque music era and you know, Bach is usually a composer that AIs can emulate quite well. But composers like Dvorak actually are more difficult. So this was interesting from a technical standpoint, but also, you know, purely from a musical standpoint as well, because in the team we love Dvorak's music, and he inspired film score composers, and we love some film scores here at Ava. So that was, you know, also the reason why we took part in the project, and I felt that telling the story of finishing an unfinished symphony was very just a very powerful story to tell people.
You said Dvořák's music was more difficult to recreate than, for example, music by Bach. Why is that?
Right. So Baroque music, like Bach's music, is very mathematical. So there's a lot of patterns in his music that algorithms love when they you know, do their learning process. They love to see patterns because it's very easy to understand what's going on in the music. And that's why Bach's music is very easy. And actually, Bach himself qualified his music of being mathematical. Dvorak's music is a little bit more unpredictable. And also, the complexity of the Ninth Symphony is also in the fact that there's a lot of leitmotifs which appear at not, I wouldn't say random, but almost at unexpected places. And there's a variation of those leitmotifs, so there's a lot of almost random element, at least from the algorithm's perspective, that you don't necessarily have with Baroque music or Bach's music. And so that's why it's a little bit more complex to understand for an AI system.
The first step in completing the unfinished fragment of Antonín Dvořák's symphony was teaching Ava about the music and the particular style she was supposed to compose in, explains Mr. Barrault. In this case, the team had Ava read 30,000 scores of history's greatest composers, including Dvořák, but also Bach, Beethoven and Mozart.
And the second part in the training that focused exclusively on Dvořák, so that Ava could really learn what makes Dvorak different from Beethoven, let's say. And then there was the actual composition process. So during this process, Ava composes, you know, thousands and thousands of examples that are ranked by sort of quality. And then the humans in our team go through them, pick one that we think is the most relevant one, and you know, then we have the musician play the music, of course. The pianist, in this case, play the music.
Despite the abilities of the artificial intelligence program, Philip Barrault stresses the importance of the human element in the whole process. The project Ava Dvořák Music from the Future involved both amateurs and professional musicians, but all of them had to have at least a fundamental understanding of how music works to be able to evaluate the results.
I think that the human element is very necessary for multiple reasons. The first one, for very technical and practical reasons. You know, the people who program this AI can improve the AI only if they understand what it composes. So there's a lot of work there that's done in the background by the humans to make sure that the AI composes better music. And a lot of that work is supervised by humans. The second one, I think, is maybe less practical, but I think that whenever you create a piece of music as a composer, you want to give that piece of music some meaning. And really, meaning comes with vision, and an AI at this stage doesn't have any vision of how to create, you know, a piece of work that will make sense musically, but also will, you know, will convey a story. So I think even if AI composes everything, every single note, there still needs to be a human at the end of the process to actually select the score and, you know, give meaning to that score. Just like we gave meaning to the score that Ava composed for this project, you know, we gave meaning because we told the story of continuing the Unfinished Symphony by Dvorak, and that itself is a story that, you know, was crafted by humans independently from the AI itself. So I think humans will always be relevant.
Ava is currently busy completing the second and third movements of Dvorak's unfinished composition in E minor, this time an orchestral version to be recorded by Prague Philharmonia. For their part, the project's initiators Philip Humpel and Richard Stibitz say they have succeeded in stirring up a public debate about the possibilities of employing artificial intelligence in music composing.
We are not sure if we want to continue with this project in the future. We want to see a live performance of the whole composition by the orchestra. We want to see the reaction of the audiences and to see if the end result really carries Antonín Dvořák's signature and whether it leads to listeners to a catharsis.
The second movement of Antonín Dvořák's unfinished composition will be presented at the Rock for People Festival in Hradec Králové in June. Its complete orchestral version, performed by Prague Philharmonia, is due to premiere at Prague's Rudolfinum Concert Hall in November.
And you've been listening to a piece performed by the Czech pianist Ivo Kahanek based on an artificial intelligence program that reconstructed and reworked Dvořák's own piano composition in E minor. And that edition of Czech Music with Ruth Frankova, which brings us to the end of our program today here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about our content, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. You can also reach us on Facebook or via Twitter. We'd be very glad to hear from you. For now, I'm Brian Kennedy saying thanks for listening and goodbye.